Hey, happy Sunday morning to you. My name is Josh, and I have the joy of serving as one of the pastors here in this church family. And I just want to say a word of welcome to you. I want to say a word of greeting and affection in the name of Jesus Christ to you. As you're worshiping at home and as I'm here in my living room, happy Sunday morning. Happy Lord's Day to you. I want to invite you to open your Bible to the book of Philippians. Today we're going to do something that I don't think I've ever done. And here's what it is. You ready? We're going to read the whole book of Philippians, okay? I'm not just going to read like a few verses of Philippians. We're going to read the whole book. It takes about 15 minutes to read the book out loud. Now, why are we doing this, though? You may know that for the last few months, we've been studying the book of Philippians together as a church family. Actually, so it was the week after Easter, back in April, when we began this journey. It was a time of uncertainty for us after Easter of 2020, and none of us could foresee what the next few months were going to look like in so many ways. And yet God has been faithful to meet us and to lead us and to feed us, maybe even in surprising ways, through this letter from Paul to the Philippian church. God has been kind to meet us in this over and over and over again. And so we began in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, back the week after Easter. Last week, we got to the end of the book of Philippians. We read the last few verses from Philippians chapter 4. And today, as we conclude our series on the book of Philippians, I want to take a couple minutes and read this letter out loud to us as a whole. Let me give you a few kind of overview themes to pay attention to before we actually just start reading the letter, okay? The biggest theme in the book of Philippians, the biggest theme of all, I wonder what you would say the biggest theme is if you've been here part of our sermon series for the last few months. The biggest theme of all in the book of Philippians is Jesus Christ. That might seem obvious, but his name appears over and over and over and over again from the very first verse to the very end of the book. Jesus Christ appears over and over and over. At the center of everything else going on in the book of Philippians is the good news proclamation, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we read this letter today, I wonder if you can pay attention to how often the name of Jesus Christ is mentioned. But I also wonder how often we slow down to consider what the name Jesus Christ even represents. And let me just explain that to you for just a second before we go any further here. Let me show you something. I have here, you know what this is? It is a Fisher-Price Little People toy. But it's not just any Fisher-Price Little People toy. This is a really special Fisher-Price Little People toy. In my household a few years ago, when we had several little kids at once, this Fisher-Price Little People toy, this one right here, was a rock star. This was the biggest star of all the little people. His name in our household was Farmer Joe. And I think we all understood when we referred to him as Farmer Joe that Farmer was not the name that his mother gave him, or not the name that his mother would have given him, right? Joe is the name that his mother gave him. But we call him Farmer Joe, why? Because farmer is what he was born to do, right? Farmer is a title that refers to what this guy does better than anybody else in the world. And so my kids knew that we should refer to him not only by the name his mother gave him, Joe, but also by the title that is bestowed upon him for being the biggest star of all farmers in the history of Fisher-Price Little People world, right? So that's how he became known as Farmer Joe. The name Jesus Christ actually is similar. Christ is not the name that his mother gave him. Jesus is the name that his mother gave him in accordance with the direction from the angel, from God. Jesus is the name his mother gave him, but why do we call him Jesus Christ? Because Christ is what he was born to do. Christ is the title that was bestowed upon him. In the same way that Joe became known as Farmer Joe, Jesus became known as Jesus the Christ. But what does it mean that Jesus is the Christ? What is a Christ? We need to read the New Testament in light of the Old Testament, right? And who is a Christ according to the Old Testament? In short, the simple answer is that the word Christ basically means king. Or more specifically, the word Christ means anointed king for God's people. Our English word Christ is kind of a way of getting at the Greek word Christos, which is kind of a translation of the Hebrew word Mashiach or Messiah. Who were the Messiahs? Who were the Christoses? Who were the Christs in the Old Testament? Well, we've studied the book of 1 and 2 Samuel together as a church, and we've noticed that the people referred to as messiahs or Christs in the Old Testament are the anointed kings, like King Saul was a Christ, an anointed king of God's people, according to the way that the Bible talks about it. And David was a kind of Christ. He was the anointed king of God's people. And Saul and David's sons after him, and above all else, there was this promised descendant of David, this promised descendant in the kingly line, who would come and deliver all of God's good and perfect promises. And then we read on page one of the New Testament that Jesus is the descendant of Abraham and all the good promises made to Abraham. Jesus is the descendant of David and all the good promises made to David and the kings after him. We read from the very first page of the New Testament that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the anointed, promised king that you and I desperately need. Jesus is the promised king that the world desperately needs. According to the New Testament, and here at the center of the book of Philippians, is this good news proclamation that Jesus Christ, because he became obedient to the point of death, Jesus Christ has been given the name above all other names. Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the good news proclamation that is at the center of this book. It tells us that Jesus is the Savior and the King that you and I desperately need, that the whole world desperately needs. That's what's at the center of this book. And pay attention to how that theme works out and how many times his name is mentioned. Farmer Joe is Joe the farmer. In the same way, Jesus is Jesus the Christ. Jesus the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm going to toss this over here. But related to that central theme that Jesus is the Christ, the promised King, are several other themes that I'll just hit really briefly, and then we'll listen to how they actually work out in this book. One of those themes is that since Jesus is the Christ King, it's worth it to serve him even when circumstances are difficult. See, Paul, announcing in the Roman Empire while Caesar was telling everybody Caesar is Lord, for Paul to announce that Jesus is Lord in the Roman Empire, it got him into trouble. And for the Philippian church in their day to believe that Jesus is Lord, it potentially was going to bring them into trouble as well. As they continued to spread the good news about Jesus, our Savior and Lord, because Jesus is the Christ, the promised King of God's people, as they continued to proclaim that message, it would lead them into difficult circumstances as well. And Paul wants the church to know, God wants us to know today, that while representing King Jesus may require courage in every generation, it is absolutely worth it. A second implication of Jesus being the Christ, the King, is that it calls for unity and servanthood among those who serve Christ as the King. See, if we really do believe that Jesus Christ is the King who became King by becoming a servant, then how should we as his followers relate to one another? Well, the ESV Study Bible has a really good introduction to the book of Philippians where it says this along these lines. It says, the gospel is not individualistic, Christians are to share in rich fellowship with one another and to be united together in service to promote the gospel. You see, the book of Philippians, it sets us free from the individualism that we all tend to drift into. It sets us free from the selfishness that we all drift toward. It sets us free from selfishness so that we can serve the Lord by serving His people, by prioritizing their interests as more significant than my own. It sets us free for that. And a third theme that you'll hear over and 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 over again, about 12 times by my count at least, is a theme of joy. You see, if Jesus Christ is Lord, and if the Lord is near to His people, then we need not fear. We need not grumble. We need not worry and fret about the future of the church. And we need not complain. If the Lord is near, then all who know Him as King can rejoice. Earlier this year, we did a study group through the book of Philippians. We did kind of a seminary level course about the book of Philippians. We had about a dozen men and women in our church family participate in that. And the last week of that course, I asked the group to do their best to work together to try to put together a summary of what the book of Philippians is all about. It's actually a good exercise after you read a book of the Bible, maybe to sit down with an open Bible and just try your best in a sentence. Maybe it gets to be a little bit of a long sentence, but just try your best in a sentence to summarize it. It's a good exercise with an open Bible. It helps us know our Bibles better. Well, here's what that group came up with as I sat back and just listened to these men and women from our church family try to summarize this beautiful letter to the Philippians. They summarized the message of it like this: since you are united in Christ, live your lives worthy of the gospel by walking in unity and joyfully enduring all things for His sake, and looking forward to the day of Christ, all to the glory and praise of God. That's what the book of Philippians is about. That's the message that we're going to be listening to as we pay attention to this. But one last note. You know, everybody can recognize that the book of Philippians is an ancient letter written by Paul to a specific church about 2,000 years ago. We can all recognize and agree on that. But as Christians, even if our neighbors don't fully agree with this conviction, we have a further conviction about this book we're going to listen to. It's not just good wisdom from an important church leader 2,000 years ago. No, we believe this is God's very own word, spoken for us and for our benefit. And so as we listen today, we believe that this is not just what God spoke to Paul many years ago. No, we believe this is God speaking to us today by His Spirit to His church. And so as we listen, let's listen not only for what Paul said back then, let's listen also for what God is still saying to us today. The word of the Lord in the letter of Paul to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. I'm just going to go for it here. Keep your Bible open and read along. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It's right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you all are partakers with me of grace. both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. And it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For me, to live is Christ. To die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which shall I choose? I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus, because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you, that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. So, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you not only look to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one else like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service of me. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. But look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more, circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think in this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you also. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. Their glory is their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. And I entreat Euodia, and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. I want to invite you to join in just kind of prayerfully looking in God's direction. Right there where you are right now in your living room or outside or wherever you're watching this video and worshiping at home, I want to invite you just to pause for a moment before the Lord, having listened to His word to us today and having listened to it over the last few months. Are there ways that the Lord Himself is speaking to your heart today? Maybe calling you to a kind of repentance from selfishness? Maybe calling you to rejoice even when circumstances are tough? Maybe calling you to a greater courage on behalf of speaking about Jesus Christ, the King that you and I need, the King that the world desperately needs. Maybe more courage in proclaiming His gospel to others. I don't know how the Lord is speaking to your heart over the last few months. I don't know how He's speaking to your heart today. Maybe it's a moment of conviction and repentance and confession before Him. Maybe it's just a moment of taking hold of these sweet and precious promises that we have in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe it's just a moment of drawing near and cherishing this opportunity we have to have fellowship with Jesus Christ, our Lord. Having a righteousness that is not our own, but the one that comes through faith in Him and what He's done for us. I want to invite you just for a moment to talk to God about how He's been speaking to you in this book. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are a God who speaks. You have revealed Yourself to us, and You have revealed Your ways to us, and You have spoken in the past, and You continue to speak through the gospel of Jesus Christ right to our hearts today. Open our hearts to hear, to listen, to follow and obey. God, we pray that our lives would be worthy of, fitting with, the gospel message that Jesus Christ is Lord. That Jesus is the Christ, the one we desperately need, and the one before whom every knee will bow. Oh God, bring our lives in alignment with that good news message. Rejoice our hearts even today. We pray for these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.